The scripture lesson this morning, I think, is one of the maybe top four or five most important scriptures in Matthew's gospel. I would think right behind the resurrection, the passion and crucifixion and Sermon on the Mount, this text, because Jesus models in here what he wants us to do. There are four things. I'd like for you to sort of see them pop out at you as we go through it. Jesus not only tells us what to do, but he illustrates what to do by what he does. So Jesus goes to people, that's the first thing. He goes with compassion is the second thing. The third thing, he sees below the surface to the needs of the people. And the fourth, he's counting on you and me. Let's see if you can see that as well. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So he went out. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers." Do you see the four? Go with compassion. Feel the weight. See reality beneath the surface. They're weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And he needs you and me, and he counts on you and me. Now, I'm excited about this text because it's so important. He doesn't mention the church here, but this is what he wants the church to do, it seems to me. And then, secondly, it happens to dovetail with what we're going to do today, and that's unveiling this new vision, sort of a new a reiteration of a vision that 100 people have been working on for the last 4 or 5 or 6 months. And I want you to meet five of those persons today as we looked at some of the needs. And what it occurs to me is that dovetails with this text right here. And the areas we identified are exactly these four areas here. And I want you to meet five of the people. It's going to be David Allen and Myra Carr going to talk a little bit. I mean, they've been involved with the leadership of the new worship service on Friday nights. Priscilla Bennett Jones is a PR specialist for a company in town, and she's going to share a word about awareness. She's been leading that team. And Sally Scott has been leading the area on servanthood ministries. And then Eben Bean is about community, been involved with that. So we have this video. Let's look at this for a minute.
You have to have a degree of consciousness as it relates to God's purpose and God's will. I really believe that we wake up to God's dream gradually at different states within our lives. And some of us see it before others, but catching the dream from God is really a process of God planting a seed in your heart or in your soul and it growing and producing fruit. And eventually you begin to see the big picture of, oh, I'm supposed to be doing this, or, oh, I'm supposed to be serving there.
God expresses the vision through one or more people, and then other people are used to carry out the vision. Sometimes the person he gives the vision to, and then the other people in the church perhaps might be ones to step up and help catch the vision that he has and then carry it out. It's contagious.
It suddenly, the light bulb went off, and we all started realizing if we could get each and every person at Trinity involved in service in some way, shape, or form, that could just be phenomenal. Not just for the church as a whole, we would be able to do more ministries, more programs, but to help that individual person grow in their faith, as many of us on the team had grown.
And so the doing aspect of ministry, be it a car wash, be it singing in a choir, be it preaching from the pulpit, be it passing out a bowl of soup to someone who's homeless, all of these are works of ministry. And see, we're part of this priesthood of believers, of where we roll up our sleeves and we don't just do the pretty work. We do all of the work together. So once again, the great invitation, inviting persons who were not involved, just as Dan, he invited us to be a part of this vision team. And so it begins with relationship, invitation, and then application, doing these things together, not only just talking about them, but actually being out front, visible, or where they can see, hey, this guy is passionate and he's driven about this vision. He has bold convictions about this vision. I want to get on board. I want to be a part of that also.
I think the way to spread this vision throughout Trinity and to inspire others to become part of it and to generate that word of mouth in the community that really is the most valuable of all. When we talk about building awareness, we can do the ads, we can do the press releases, we can get the media coverage, but it really comes down to us just sharing our experiences with others. And I can't imagine not wanting anyone that I care about or anyone who needs a home not wanting to hear about this.
Well, I think when all of us leaders got together and we saw everybody's ideas and we started to incorporate them together, it just felt right. And it felt right not just for Trinity, but it would be right for God's work, people to grow in their faith, to grow stronger, to be able to do more ministries, more programs.
You don't come to church for what you can get. You come for what you can give. And that has really affected me personally because I always came in the past just to, you know, hear the message, to feel really inspired by what was said, and then maybe to go out and live it in my life in whatever I was doing. I didn't realize how important it was to give back and to give something. And in giving, we're really living out God's will for us. And He has gifted us. He's given us spiritual gifts, and He expects us to use some of those things in the church. And so it's the right thing to do. It's a corny saying, but you get more out of it than what you give. When we talk about public relations and how it relates to the church, it really is just evangelism. It's all the things that we're already doing when we share the great experiences we have with others. We're lucky that Trinity already has a lot of the key tools in place. We have a great website. We even have a Facebook page. So we're just going to mobilize that more and make more of an intentional effort to use those tools in telling our friends and coworkers and anyone who needs a home about all the great things that are going on here.
When you're talking servanthood, you're doing it for God. You're doing it to help others. But the magic in that is that if it's a good opportunity, if it's a good experience, if it's a match for your interests, your passions, your gifts, then that's how people grow in their faith. And that's a wonderful thing.
It helps you lose that question in a lot of ways. What's in it for me? We're in our society and culture, it seems sort of the main question we always ask to everything. Well, what's in it for me? And when we step back away and we're giving to someone else and not really focused on ourselves, that's when we get to experience, you know, what God's love is and why He loves us so much.
This process is a reminder of what we all said yes to. We said yes to follow Him. You know, Dan preached a sermon a week or so ago. You know, do we really want to do this? And, you know, it is a constant reminder every time I'm working on a sermon, every time I'm officiating a meeting, etc., every time that we are passing out flyers in the community, inviting people out. It's a constant reminder that this is what we committed to.
This vision initiative isn't just a marketing plan or some business plan that just sits on a piece of paper. It is the heart and soul of Trinity, and we are what gives it legs. We are the ones that can carry the message and breathe life into it.
So that's the beautiful part of watching everyday people, common everyday people, be a part of this thing. And that's also the beauty of the church, that you don't have to be a bishop to serve. You don't have to be a pastor who preaches to serve. You can be Joe frying French fries at McDonald's. And guess what? There's a place for you in the body of Christ. And that's the awesome, beautiful thing about these nine vision teams is that all, for whosoever will, let them come. Everyone is welcome. Welcome home. Literally, welcome home. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was good, wasn't it? Yeah. Now, let me remind you of those four pieces that spring out of this text, the scripture lesson for this morning. Go to. Jesus went to all the towns and villages, and He wants us to go. Make aware. Share the good news. Second, go with compassion, not judgment. compassion, not judgment. Third, see beneath the surface to the reality of so many people who seem like they have it all together and sometimes are even intimidating to you or me. Underneath are probably wanderless sheep, weary. That's what Jesus saw. Have the eyes of Jesus. And then realize that He needs you and me. He's counting on you and me. The next chapter, the next following verses, Jesus calls the 12 disciples and calls them by name. And I think there's the purpose there is to remind us that He calls you and me by name because He's counting on us. He calls us each by name and He gives us authority. Now, I'm very hesitant to be critical of any of our sister churches, but let me just say this brief word. I think our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, at least the hierarchy, made a mistake in ordaining only male priests. And because their logic is that Jesus only called 12 males, 12 men. And therefore, if Jesus wanted women to be priests, He would have called a woman. This isn't about priesthood. This is about all of us. The priesthood hadn't even come into being yet. People like me and David are called to certain ordained ministry. But these are regular folks, just like all of us here. And He's called us by name to be engaged in the work He's called us to do. And He gives you authority. Now, many of you shirk back from that notion of authority, rightly so, because you've seen how authority can be misused so terribly and abused. And religious authority, if you've ever been on the end of that in a negative way, it's awful. And so rightly, one ought to be cautious about it. But this is not inherent authority. This is derived authority given to us by God as long as we stay in connection with Him. It's more along the lines of John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches, and any strength you have is only because of your connection with the vine, Jesus Himself. So don't be afraid of the authority He gives you. Live in close connection with Him. Now, come with me back to these four elements. Number one, go to. Jesus went through all the towns and villages sharing the good news of the kingdom of God. And Jesus sends us out to do what He did. Now, where is He sending you to? Gainesville, High Springs, Alachua, Hague, Millhopper Station, Hale, Lewes Creek, Sterling Place. Where does Jesus send you out to? It seems to me He sends you to two main places. Number one, for many of you, it's where you naturally go day in and day out. To your children, to your work, to your friends and neighbors. Some of us were talking with the president of Asbury Seminary, the new president. He's a world Christian. He spends a lot of his 3 months of his year in India. And he gave us some statistics that amazed me, staggered me. Here they are. The first is the number of white Anglo-Christians in the world, folks like most of us here, the number of white Anglo-Christians in the world decreases each day by 4,700 people. Decreases. In the world. In Africa, on the other hand, the number of Christians, people becoming Christians increases by 24,000 a day. Now, why is that? There are three or four reasons. One, because we don't go to our children first. Thank God for all of you who parents or children here, and you take it upon yourselves to share with them the good news. If we're losing 4,700 a day, we're not replenishing ourselves. Because we don't go to others around us very strongly. Because many in this group turn to secularism. I think about the number of people who pass by the front of Trinity every day on 53rd Avenue. Must be about 4,700 people, wouldn't you guess? I have no idea about all the wonderful things that are happening here. More and more people in our world today know less and less about Jesus. And they're only going to know as we take Jesus seriously when He went to all the towns and villages. We're living in a day similar to what Jesus lived in. And He looks out upon the people with compassion and sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd. There's something special that happens here and in any vital church when people pray and love and experience God's forgiving grace and Jesus' amazing love. I'm excited that we're going to target awareness and making people more aware through word of mouth. I'm kind of partial to bumper stickers. I don't know. I've got to come up with three or four. Call home, Trinity, or home for dinner, Trinity, or I don't think you like them, but all right. any rate, we'll see if we come up with these. And I'm very excited about the new worship service on Friday night for three reasons. One, we have a whole generation of people, young people growing up on praise and worship music, and we're going to offer that at that. And secondly, these three-day weekends are really hard on the church because so many people scatter all over the country on these large three-day weekends. There's lots more and more of them. And across the country, my clergy buddies say that sports programs on Sunday morning are dramatically hurting their Christian education program because people take their kids to so many sporting events all around. And so maybe Friday night will be a big help. The goal of the vision plan is to increase our worshiping attendance by 50%, which would be about 600 people in 3 years. I mentioned two places where Jesus sends you. First is where you go naturally, your children, your associates. Another, some of you, now listen to me if you would, particularly those of you middle age or so. Jesus may be wanting to send you to a whole new arena. You may be at that time in your life when God has something very different for you. Bob Buford talked about this in his book, Halftime. He was in his mid-50s, halfway point in his life, and he wanted to move from success to significance. And he tried to listen quietly to the still small voice of God to say, God, where do you want me to go next and now? I've really valued what I've done in my professional career, but are you having me go some other place, some other arena? As you listen to the still small voice, what is he saying? So that's the first thing. The second, go with compassion. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. I don't know that I know much about compassion. That's not terribly how we were raised, and I've been trying. But somebody shared with me recently some writings from Mother Teresa. This is In the Heart of the World. And this title of this one is called On Compassion. And she begins, I'm going to read just a little bit. We will never know how much just a simple smile will do. Speaking of simple smile, how many of you are greeted out here by Tom Huffman when you come in on Sunday morning? Holy mackerel, isn't that awesome? I think Tom is in Sunday school. He comes to the first service, then scoots over there. I'm going to tell Tom, wow. And he knows almost all of your names, doesn't he? Here's what Mother Teresa says. Let us not use bombs and guns to overcome the world. Let us use love and compassion. Peace begins with a smile. Smile 5 times a day at someone you don't really want to smile at all. Do it for peace. Let us radiate the peace of God and so light His light and extinguish in the world and in the hearts of all men all hatred and love for power. Smile at one another. It's not always easy. Sometimes I find it hard to smile at my sister, but then I pray. God loves the world. Listen to this. God loves the world through you and me. Are we that love and that compassion? Christ came to be His Father's compassion. God is loving the world through you and through me and through all of those who are His love and compassion in the world. There's much suffering in the world, very much. Material suffering is suffering from hunger, suffering from homelessness, from all kinds of disease. But I still think that the greatest suffering is being lonely, feeling unloved, just having no one. I have come more and more to realize that it is being unwanted that is the worst disease that any human being can ever experience. Let us be very sincere in our dealings with each other and have the courage to accept that each other as we are. Do not be surprised at or become preoccupied with each other's failure. Rather see and find the good in each other, for each one of us is created in the image of God. Jesus said it beautifully, I am the vine, you are the branches. The life-giving sap that flows from the vine through each of the branches is the same. And in her little book, she not only gives us these words, but she gives stories. And I'm going to just share one story with you in Calcutta. She calls this the distressing disguise of suffering. It speaks to me because I'm in nowhere near what is needed to do what this person did. But God is working on me. I remember one of our sisters who had just graduated from the university. She came from a well-to-do family that lived outside of India. According to our rule, the very next day after joining our society, the postulants, the new people, must go to the home for the dying destitute in Calcutta. Before this sister went, I told her, "You saw the priest during the Mass this morning, with what love, with what delicate care he touched the body of Christ in Holy Communion. Make sure you do the same thing when you get to the home, because Jesus is there in a distressing disguise." So she went, and after 3 hours she came back. That girl from the university who had seen and understood so many things came to my room with such a beautiful smile on her face. She said, "For 3 hours I've been touching the body of Christ." And I said, "What did you do? What happened?" She said, "They brought a man from the street who had fallen into a drain and had been there for some time. He was covered with maggots and dirt and wounds. And though I found it very difficult, I cleaned him, and I knew I was touching the body of Christ." She knew. Compassion. Jesus is teaching us something about compassion here. Thirdly, see reality. Jesus knew that underneath the appearance, people were oppressed and weary, like sheep without a shepherd. Lots of people you and I know are just like that. Again, Mother Teresa said that on her first trip to New York City ever, there were people with her who thought she would be very impressed with all of the stuff of New York City, like so many of us are. And a reporter thrust the microphone in her face and said, "What do you think?" And she was silent for a long time. And then she said, "I've never seen people so hungry or so poor as these." She saw with eyes of Christ that I'm only beginning to see with. I want to do that too. Finally, servanthood. Jesus said, "Look, friends, the fields are white unto harvest. Harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you to be a servant." For some reason, right now, I'm overextended with two things. One is I'm on a Walk to Emmaus team, and that's coming up this weekend. It's from Thursday night to Sunday, and there's lots of Saturday preparation for that. Another friend in this church asked me to serve on the Kairos team. That's the Walk to Emmaus, a spiritual weekend in prison, which I'm not really comfortable with. I'll tell you that. It's a stretch for me. One is the beginning of April, the other is at the end of April, and each have Saturday commitments. And I said to myself, "Why am I doing this?" And I said to God, "God, why do you have me doing all of these things?" And he said, "Because you need a crash course in learning how to be a servant." Because it doesn't come naturally to me. And so when we go to these trainings, when we go on the weekend, we give up our agendas, we give up our schedules, we give up all of these things, and it's God's way of shaping us to get us to a place where we're willing to say, "God, here I am. You call me by name. I don't know exactly what you want me to do, and that's not maybe so critical, but I want to be your servant." He's counting on you and me. Would you pray with me? God, bore this text into our hearts, would you? As you went, you want us to go and share the good news. You want us to go with compassion and not judgment. You want us to see below the surface with the eyes of Mother Teresa and see the hurt and loneliness and the pain and the loss. And strangely, you're counting on each of us. And so we say, "Here I am, Lord." Amen.